6.3, the ABA Rules of Ethics, paraphrased. This section in the manual covers the rules of ethics pretty much in layman's terms, in layman's terminology, to try to make them more understandable. We want you to read all of them, but the ones that are mentioned here on this website are the really more important ones, the most important ones, I should say, and especially the ones that affect a paralegal's job. Diligence, unwarranted delay. You can really help an attorney here by not waiting to the last minute to prepare a document or to file a document. I can't tell you how many times an attorney calls me from the road or when he's out of the office or and has forgotten to do something and needs me to do something for him or her before it's too late, including filing something that day. That really happens a lot. So you do your attorney a great favor by trying to keep up with things. We'll talk about the concept of a tickler system later, but to try to remind you and the attorney of when things are due in advance. But don't wait till the last day. You can really help an attorney with that. Confidentiality of information, very, very important. You do not discuss cases outside the law firm. And I'm sorry to have to say this, but not even with your spouse. If it's an active case, it's just not something you want to do. In fact, the general rule of thumb is not to discuss anything that wasn't printed in a newspaper. Even if it was printed in a newspaper, if it's an active case, I wouldn't do it. And if it's not an active case, if it's a case that's history now, you never want to discuss that case. Even after it's done, the privilege still exists. Now, you can give general descriptions of, like, oh, I had a client once and this happened, but you do not use names. You don't do anything that would allow the audience to identify specifically who that client was. It's very important that you as a paralegal keep that in mind. Conflict of interest, if you are related to somebody, for instance, from an opposing law firm or from an opposing party even, that's a conflict of interest. You have to let your attorney know. There are certainly other conflicts that can arise, but don't ever hide that, because if you hide it and it comes out later, not only can you get fired for it, your client may lose the case. Again, that threat of legal malpractice may hang over your attorney's head if something like that happens. Communication with the other side. No, I don't mean with the zombies or the walking dead or whoever. This means communication with the opposing party. You're only allowed to communicate with the attorney for the opposing party. We actually had a couple circumstances where we had clients for the other side call up to ask for information on the case because their attorney wasn't calling them back. You can't tell them anything. If that happens, you cannot discuss it with them. But you immediately want to tell the attorney that. The attorney may want to give the other lawyer a nudge, a friendly nudge, or if it works to his or her advantage, your attorney may actually bring that up with the court. Unauthorized practice of law deals with a paralegal giving legal advice. You're not allowed to do that. You're allowed to give non-legal advice, but not advice that applies any sort of law to a factual situation that your client might have. You almost want to be paranoid about this. We talk about that in the textbook about being just, if you have to think twice about it, don't answer the question. Never answer a question that can't be undone by an attorney either. Paralegals, secretaries, and other legal staff talks about the fact that lawyers can basically give paralegals any kind of task except representation and giving legal advice. Even the representation part is being chipped away at, because there are some states, some jurisdictions, where paralegals are allowed to go in and participate in limited hearings, for instance, where there is no opposition anticipated, like a motion for extension, or sometimes called a motion to enlarge. Even that is being chipped away at. Some small claims courts allow non-attorney representation, including paralegals. So now make sure you do the exercise at the bottom of this page as well.